Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Judges, where we continue our study. The book of Judges. This is getting to an interesting point in this story as we've been kind of going through this. We already had Gideon fought his battle. He's won. He's gone now from the scene. He died. One of his sons of a concubine came in, killed all of his other sons except one who, and then he kind of took over, and his name was, anybody remember? Abimelech. And so then the other son stood up and gave the soliloquy about the trees. Remember the trees scenario, that kind of stuff. And we've kind of worked through that. And now we're kind of coming now. If you remember, he gave a prophecy. If you look at verse 20 real quickly, he said, and if not, he says, if, in other words, you're not honoring my father for all that he did for the nation, it says, and if not, let fire come out from Abimelech and devour the men of Shechem and the house of Milo and let fire come out from the men of Shechem and from the house of Milo and devour Abimelech. And he kind of gives that prophecy of, you know what, if you're not being honest about what you should be doing and the direction you ought to be going, then this is what God's going to do, or this is what ought to happen. And we're going to kind of fill out the rest of this story. Now, it's a long chapter. We're going to kind of skip through it. You'll have to read the chapter on your own, but we will get to all of it, or you'll get to all of it eventually as we at least get the story in. Verse 22 says, when Abimelech had reigned 3 years over Israel. So now we know the scenario, right? Abimelech has taken charge. He took charge by killing everybody who might have gotten in the way. So he did not take charge in a godly fashion. We talked about promotion earlier in our study of this, and how that the Bible says promotion is of the Lord, right? God's the one that establishes kingdoms, not people. And so this was a bad idea for him to do, and we'll come into the story there. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would just help us to learn from your word, to grow in your grace, to allow you to show us how we ought to allow you to be the one to set up and take down. And Father, we'll thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to step down here and get a cough drop. My throat all of a sudden this afternoon must be... I got worms trying to crawl back up. I'm kidding. None of you are going to show me any sympathy, Arlen. Yeah, you deserve it. You eat a bug. Oh, well, like you've never eaten a bug before, you say, I have, Pastor, but not on purpose. I know, I understand. So anyway, as we're looking at this, now, what I want us to consider is how these men came to power. That's huge. And then I want us to consider how we ought to react and respond when people are in power. And then I want us to consider how someone who ought not be in power is taken out of power. That's the scenario that's being played out here with Abimelech in Judges, the 9th chapter. Then God, it says, verse 23, then God, circle that word, who is about to act? God. This is important. God is able. Do we believe that God is able to... Have you ever known somebody to be the president of the United States who you felt maybe wasn't worthy of the title? Maybe another question would be, have you ever known anybody to be president of the United States who you thought was worth them? And what our job is to trust God, right? Are we content that God can act without our help? Now, what you've seen here already earlier is Abimelech says, I should be in charge. Now, if Abimelech should be in charge, who should make him so? God. He doesn't have to make that happen, and yet he kills all those other brothers in order to make that happen. And now you're going to see this scenario kind of played out again. But take a look at verse 23 again. It says, then God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem. Help me here. Remember the story. Who set Abimelech up to be the king? The men of Shechem. Oh, yeah, the men of Shechem. Hear this out. This is a great principle to grab hold of. If you have to manipulate people to get into power, watch your back. Because those same people will be the ones that are going to come back to hurt you. Now you say, that's not what the Bible says here. No, it doesn't. But you'll see it played out over and over and over again in the scripture, and you'll see that God wants you and I to learn to trust him. So God sends this evil spirit between the men of Shechem and their one-time king, Abimelech, the guy who they could not live without being in charge, the guy who said, yes, kill those brothers, we'll follow you to the ends of the world, at least for 3 years. And and the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech. That the cruelty done to the 70 sons, now that means that the reason for this happening, the reason God has gotten involved, is because of the cruelty that was done to the 70 sons of Jerubbaal, which is Gideon, might come and their blood be laid upon Abimelech, their brother, which slew them, and upon the men of Shechem, which aided him in the killing of his brethren. Can I also point out something? Hey, listen, if you aid someone in their sin, what does God think of that? Hey, you know, God says, not only am I upset because Abimelech did this, but I'm upset because these men aided him in that. And so when we kind of grease the skids, so to speak, so that people can follow after sin, God does not hold us guiltless. God holds us accountable, and that's what's happening here in this story. And the men of Shechem sent liars, and we got to kind of rush through the story, but they sent people to go and wait for him in the top of the mountains. They robbed all that came along by the way, and it was told Abimelech. And so this is what's happening. So the men of Shechem, his friends, they start going out and kind of behind the scenes working against Abimelech. And Abimelech hears this, and he's made angry, and that begins this scenario. Now take a look at the next verse, verse 26. I want to show you in verse 26 and 27 what goes around, and here it is, Gaal, the son of Ebed. Now you can just thank the Lord for your parents, all right? You're not Gaal or Ebed. Came with his brethren and went over to Shechem. And the men of Shechem put their confidence in who? Not in Abimelech, not in their leader, but in Gaal, put their confidence in him. And they went out into the fields and gathered their vineyards and trod the grapes and made merry and went into the house of their God and did eat and drink and cursed Abimelech. And Gaal, the son of Ebed, said, who is Abimelech? Now, when was the last time you heard this kind of statement? Do you remember the last time you heard somebody talk like this? In our study. I'm not saying this week. I'm saying in our study. Do you remember the last time you heard somebody talking like this? Who was it? It was Abimelech. Abimelech said, hey, why is Jerubbaal such an important person? Why shouldn't I be in charge? Well, here's Gaal coming in, and he says, who is Abimelech? And who is Shechem that we should serve him? Is not he the son of Jerubbaal and Zebul, his father of Shechem? For why should we serve him? And would, I love when people do this. Don't you love when politicians call upon the name of the Lord for their own gain? And would to God this person were under my hand, then I would remove Abimelech. Wow, if only I were in charge. You ever felt like that at work? If only I, this company be, well, we'd whip this place into shape. If only I were in charge. You ever felt like that at church? I wish Pastor would just be quiet and let me run this place for a while. Amen, yeah. If only I were in charge. You ever felt like that in your home? I wish Dad would just step aside for a little bit and let me run things. If only I were in charge. So here is Abimelech, and here is this guy, Gaal, and here's what he's saying. If I were, can you think of another Bible character, by the way, that did this? Absalom was doing the exact same thing. Everybody comes along, Absalom, you're such a great guy. Man, I wish you were the king. And absolutely, if only I were in charge, this kind of stuff would not be happening in our nation. Can we learn something here about the right way versus the wrong way to deal with leadership? The wrong way would be Gaal. The wrong way would be Absalom, or I'm sorry, Abimelech, who said, if only I were in charge, and then worked to make it happen. You know what David did when Absalom said, if only I were in charge? Do you remember what David did? David said, I'll move out of the way. You can have it. If God's finished with me, I don't want to be there. David took the line of the parable of the trees that we read earlier. Why would I trade leadership for God's blessing? Remember the trees, how they argued that? And David literally says, if I'm not supposed to be here, I'll move. I'm not David from the very beginning. Remember, everybody kept coming to David and said, David, there's Saul. He's asleep. God has brought him into your hands. And David said, I will not touch God's anointed. And David literally, when Absalom comes, says, you know what? If God's trying to give Absalom the kingdom, I'm going to let him. I'm not going to stand in God's way. If God wants me in charge, so be it. But if God doesn't want me in charge, I'm not fighting to get what I didn't fight or to keep what I didn't fight to get. And that's where David was. God honored that. God's not going to honor Abimelech. God's not going to honor Gaal. These men fought to be in control, fought to have authority, fought to be in charge. And I reminded you, verse 20, of the story. Now, I'll tell you the rest of the story just because we're running out of time. Okay, so then this Zebul, this other guy that's in there, he's really on Abimelech's side, but he's, you know, got an in with Gaal. So he says, hey, you know, let's do this. He goes to Abimelech secretly, says, hey, you come down here and hide out there, and I'll send Gaal and the men of Shechem out to you, and you can take them. And so Gaal wakes up the next morning, looks out there, and says, wow, look, I see armies of men out among the trees. And Zebul says, no, that's just the shadow of the mountains. Your eyes are not seeing things right. That's just the shadow. I mean, he's lying to get this guy to... Finally, he's, you know, Gaal's smarter than that. He says, no way, I see people. There's people out there. And so Zebul says, well, if there's people out there, then you're in charge. Go fight them. And he sends them out, and the battle begins. And what happens is Abimelech starts to win. They all run, and they hide in a tower, literally hundreds of people hiding in a wooden tower. Abimelech, keeping them cooped up in the tower, goes out and cuts down a tree, says to his men, hey, look, see what I'm doing? You do the same thing. Everybody, get a tree. And they all went and cut down trees. They drag it. They pile the trees all up around. What did the verse say was going to happen in verse 20? Fire. And they literally burn the tower to the ground with the people in it. Hundreds of people die of Shechem. And then the same thing turns around and happens as Abimelech has to go hide in a tower, or hide, goes to chase down another group, and another group hides in a tower, and this little old lady says, oh, look, there's that bad guy Abimelech, and drops a pot on his head and just about kills him. And he says, please kill me because I don't want to be killed by a woman. How humiliating would it be if I die at the hands of a woman? So he begs somebody to drive him through with a sword. God does not like when you and I usurp authority. Now, listen to me. You know how we are around here. I do not believe a pastor has nearly as much authority as is the view of most of my Baptist brethren, okay? I do not believe that because the pastor says it, you have to do it. No. God says it, we have to do it. Do you understand? I am under God and His word just like you are. God has honored, given me the honor and the privilege of being able to preach His word. But the real truth is, my authority ends at the book. And I don't have, you know, it's a very limited authority. I love the way God, who has this great sense of humor, says, I know how I'll make this work. So he develops congregational authority. So that a pastor is in charge of the church and is the watcher of your souls, and you can fire him. Who's in charge? Really, seriously. If you have the ability to fire me, doesn't that make you in charge? And I would challenge you that that is not. You know who's in charge? You know who better be in charge of our church? That's exactly right. So when we get in the struggle of who's in charge, we're the problem. We're Abimelech. We're Shechem. We're Gaal. We're Absalom. We're not. Our goal is not to strive to be in charge. Our goal is to let God have his way. And so God steps in and he says, you know what, Abimelech? You're not in charge. You know what, Shechem? You're not in charge. You know what, Gaal? You're not in charge. You know why? Because I'm in charge. And that's the story that's unfolding here in this chapter. So it comes to the end, and all of those guys are taken care of. One of them by a little old lady who just says, that's the guy. I'm going to get him. And drops something on his head. I love that story. It's just fantastic. It's almost as good as Jael with a nail. Just a great story. So our challenge with this is, and I'm out of time, is to view our attitude toward those who God has placed in charge. And to be careful not to be that one who says, I could do better. You know, I'm not an idiot. I may be your pastor, but I am well aware that there are a lot of people sitting in this congregation who, just from the aspect of being able to learn, your IQ is higher than mine. You don't have to prove it to me. I already know. You know, I'm aware that I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. You know, that doesn't offend me. It's just the reality of it. It is where we are, okay? There's a reason, besides the fact that God called me to this, there's a reason I'm not like a rocket scientist. You understand? God's called me to preach, and I'm not a rocket scientist. God has called me to preach. The wonderful thing about the Word of God is it doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand it. That's the wonderful thing about it. It does take the Spirit of God to understand it. So what's our attitude toward authority? Are we challenging the authority that God has placed? Are we somehow working against those who God has put in charge so that we can manipulate things to work out the way we want? Or are we willing to trust God, like the trees, to put up who he wants, to put down who he wants, and to recognize that where God has planted me is the best place I can be. And I ought not to be fighting for a different position. If God wants to move me, that's different. Here's David out there working in the field one day, and God says, come over here, and anoints him. And everybody knows when the prophet anoints somebody, something's happening. Now, you know what David did the next day? Went back out to the field and worked with sheep. He didn't become king. And he did that until finally a battle was taking place, and he goes and fights a battle with Goliath, and then he goes back to the sheep. And he does that for a while until the king calls him to play some music for him. And things just kind of go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth until finally, 15 years or so later, God says, David, it's time. You're no longer going to be a shepherd. I'm making you king. And God moved. And it was a wonderful story. And God said about David, there's a man after my own heart. A man who's willing to let me move him and not fight to be moved. So I just want to challenge us with where we are in authority. I don't know what your authorities are like. I know. I'm sure I frustrate many of you sometimes, and you wish this and this would happen, that and that would happen. Keep praying for me. But until God moves me, keep praying for me. Right? Until God moves me, keep praying for me. And vice versa. This is our President of the United States. You know, I don't know what you think about the President of the United States. It doesn't matter. Let God move him. Our job is not to form an uprising against our government, but to let God move. That's our job. You know, where you work, start praying. Let God move. God can, God will, but God's timing is God's timing.